For the better part of a decade, Mark Sageman has been trying to figure out how people become radicalized. Sageman is an ex-CIA case officer and a forensic psychiatrist. Now he's an independent consultant on terrorism based in Maryland. Sageman says he's discerned a pattern to radicalization. First, an individual joins some kind of movement that opposes the prevailing thinking of society. Sageman calls it a protest counterculture. That's not dangerous in and of itself, but, says Sageman,
Very few people from this protest counterculture go on and turn to violence.
Mark Sageman says that the process of radicalization can be very fast or very slow.
And what drives this shift from a protest counterculture to the turn to violence is often a sense of moral outrage and disappointment with the effectiveness of the protest counterculture.
Can you break that down for us a little bit? I mean, becoming part of a protest counterculture movement implies the presence of other people. How would someone like Mutaleb find such a community?
You can find him face-to-face, going to demonstration, protest against arrests of your friends or people within the protest counterculture. That's often a very random process. You go there because your friends invited you or you feel strongly about this. And if you like the people there, you often stay and become more active. So the face-to-face is the first way. The second is to try to find out more information. And it's really the discussion. Every idea that we have is really mediated through group discussion. And so you join a chat room. And from there on, you can solidify your own views, which are contrary to that of the state.
And then moving from just mixing and mingling and chatting with this sort of counterculture movement and then turning to violence, I'm wondering how that might happen. Would it require the assistance of, say, in an established group such as Al-Qaeda?
No, it does not. This is another misconception. Most people who become what we call radicalized or turn to violence do it spontaneously from the bottom up. It's not really a top-down process. And so they become disappointed with the effectiveness of the protest counterculture, and then they start looking for help. That's where they actually try to look for Al-Qaeda. That's when they try to look for other groups to help them move to violence. So the flow is from the bottom up. It's very much like Major Hassan sending 21 emails to Anwar al-Awlaki, the Yemeni imam, and the Yemeni imam supposedly answering just two of them. So you see very much the pressure is from the bottom.
And Major Hassan, of course, the alleged shooter at Fort Hood in Texas last month.
That's correct, yes.
Well, much of your research has focused on the 9/11 plotters. I'm wondering what you've learned from that case that might indicate what to look for to prevent future attacks.
What I've learned is that anybody can become a terrorist. The way we look at terrorists is wrong. We usually look at them as if there is some kind of stable personality flaw that makes them become terrorists, whereas it's really a group phenomenon. It's group dynamics. You have to focus on behavior as opposed to stable personality pattern within people. So if you look at a sequence pattern of events, which is usually the same, that could give you a tip-off that something may be going on.
I realize this remains a very thorny thing for people to deal with, but is there something distinctive about young Muslims that make them more likely to be radicalized, or is it what you're describing, a process that might be observed in any social grouping, religious or otherwise?
It's in any social grouping. My research has gone back now to the French Revolution, to the anarchists of the 19th century, to the leftists of the 1970s, and to now this wave of religious violence. And it's all the same. It's a two-step process. You join a protest counterculture, and then you reject it to turn to violence.
Mark Sageman is an independent consultant on terrorism. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.